Okay. Very, very interesting. Doc, let me ask you this question, if I may, at this point. Your
yes.
report of findings, do you review that with them at that point? Do they come back a second time? How is it different for these types of patients? Just talk a little bit about your report of findings, if you would.
Sure. We always try to do a report of findings on the second visit. Obviously, we never like to render any treatment on that first visit. So if I'm doing the computerized scan or if I'm doing a lateral x-ray or whatever objective procedure the doctor has in his arsenal, I would then say that it does take time to analyze this x-ray or computerized exam or whatever it may be. So what we'd like you to do is I'll step out of the room. You can change out of your gown, and you can come back up front and schedule an appointment with Janine where we can go over your information or your findings on the next visit. We call that a report of findings. We're reporting the findings back to the patient. So number one, I let them know that this may or may not be a serious condition at that particular time. I'm going to spend a good deal of quality time after office hours reviewing that particular examination procedure or x-ray. And at that next visit, I pre-frame them and I let them know there's a couple things we're going to go over next time. We're going to let you know what your condition is, can chiropractic care help, how long of a process it'll take, and how much cost is involved. This is where we get into the insurance card. A lot of telemarketing patients are very reluctant to leave any insurance information on that first visit. So I say, in reviewing your information this evening, we will also qualify your insurance. We will find out what is covered and what is not covered. Sometimes they may say, well, I'd like to call and just find out if chiropractic care is covered. And we said, that's fine, but you'll get a yes or a no answer. We will actually know specifics. Are re-exams covered? Are treatments covered? Is physical therapy covered? Are adjustments covered and not physical therapy? So we finish with letting them know on the next visit how much cost would be involved, but I let them know that there will be no charge for that second visit as well. It is just where we're reporting the information back to them.
Great. Very interesting. Now, you were saying earlier, when they're done, do you escort them back to the front desk to meet with Janine, or could you just walk me through that? They've changed
sure.
into their clothes. How do they get back into the waiting room, and what happens then?
I usually ask them to open the door. Depending on how busy we are during that night, they may just walk directly up front. But if it's scheduled during a special hour, I'll escort the patient back up front with the clipboard, and they can see the full-color examination or the x-ray plate being handed over. And we're saying, we're going to spend some time this evening going over Mrs. Jones' examination. I would like you to schedule her for a report of findings. And I usually pass the patient off to my office manager, which, well, she may say something like, you're in good hands. We hope to see you soon, or we'd like to schedule that report of findings for you. We try to do it as soon as possible, hopefully within a day or two.
Great, great. We've heard over the years, Doc, you know, doctors saying, well, these patients are great, we're getting them, but they involve extra work. There's the free exam, there's just extra work involved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Could you give the doctors listening in today any suggestions on maybe how you schedule these people or charting them or tracking them, anything to cut down on what doctors perceive as extra work?
Well, a new patient is never, in my opinion, any extra work. We have, in the way my office is set up, we have a totally separate examination or consultation room, which is just dedicated to a new patient. So even if we have 20 patients scheduled for that hour, we still have the potential to see one or two or three new patients that particular hour. You know, we like to offer same-day appointments even for our non-telemarketing patients. And if you're not available and they need your service, if you're not willing to accept them, I'm sure there's another chiropractor down the street that they can get a same-day appointment at. So we like to accommodate new patients. And in any particular day, we've seen up to 8 new Metro Marketing telemarketing patients and process them and still had a very busy day in practice. So I don't see that there any additional work at all.
Great.
If scheduled
great.
Properly.
Great. Thank you. After they finished with the first appointment and now they're scheduled to come back a second time, does your office staff do anything in between, confirm the appointment, send a mail reminder to strengthen the odds of them coming back for that second appointment?
Sure, absolutely. We have my practice coordinator also handles a sheet where in one column you'll have patient name, and in the next box it'll say date of telemarketing appointment. The next box will say date of ROF, The next box will say showed yes or no for ROF and actually accepted care, yes or no. So it is a process. It's probably about a three-step process, but my practice coordinator likes to meet with me once a week where we'll actually sit down and we'll say, okay, of these 10 telemarketing patients, these five have come back for the reported findings. These need a second letter. We don't like to use a mailer per se because we just like to schedule that report of findings for the next practice day. We always give a phone call beforehand, especially to our new patients, to let them know and remind them of their appointment. And obviously, if patients are 15 minutes late, they get a phone call from us. So there is some follow-up involved. But again, any office that has some sort of procedures or charting procedures, it can be very beneficial with not letting patients slip through the cracks.
I just want to pick on something I just heard you say. Every single patient who's 15 minutes late for their appointment, someone picks up the phone to find out where they are.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Great idea. You covered it a little bit earlier, but maybe we can just touch upon this again. Again, for the patient who you refer to, as I refer to, as a tire kicker, someone who comes
sure.
in and basically says, I've got no pain. I really have nothing bothering me. I was offered this free exam, and here I am. You know, talk to me. What do you do differently with that person?
That gets into our four-point consultation, what we call our chiropractic 101. And we talk about nerve system function and flow from the nerves to the rest of the body and how your body is self-healing and self-regulating. And that complete procedure, those 4 points, usually takes about 6 minutes. And after those 6 minutes, I have them focusing on whether, in fact, they have nerve system interference. They're not at all concerned about any particular pain that they may or may not have. So I say that the purpose of today is to locate any interference to your nerve system. And if there is any interference, our job is to obviously locate it and remove it so your body can function better.
Okay. I'm sure you must get what I call financially challenged patients, people who basically are not properly insured, you know, are not covered for, you know, chiropractic care. How do you deal with them? How do you work with those people?
And again, this is one of my concerns that I've had 5 years ago, and I think a lot of this comes with certainty. You're looking a patient in the eye during the report of findings, and I've even gone as far as looking them in the eye and saying that I understand that you have no insurance or very limited insurance, but I'm going to make recommendations to you right now based upon your particular health needs, not on what your deep-pocketed insurance company recommends or will cover. And I don't think you want me to do that either. And they nod their head in agreement. Obviously, insurance companies know that it's good to work out and drink bottled water, but they're not going to pay for those services. So we've come across that's a concern, but we do a good job. We present our information to the patient at the report of findings, and we have affordable payment plans. We don't, by any chance, do any discounted services. But we have payment options, and each doctor in their particular state will have to look into those laws for their particular state. But I would say probably a third of our practice or even a third of our telemarketing patients come in with little to no insurance, and I will tell you that we are not giving care away. Our average office visit collections is well over $50, with a third of our practice being uninsured.
Really? Okay. I've been to doctors personally, medical doctors, I should say, who have basically, you know, strongly suggested I not visit a chiropractor, even though I know that your education background, the chiropractic educational background is as extensive, if not more so, than the medical doctor is. But, you know, there's a lot of medical doctors out there who basically are just spreading the word, don't go see a chiropractor. How do you fight against this and, you know, where you're having medical doctors out there possibly discouraging their own patients from seeing a chiropractor, and now you have someone walking in who's had, yes, they've come to see you for the free exam, but suppressed in their mind, they've been told by a doctor, by a dentist, by whomever, no, you don't want to see a chiropractor.
Interesting question. And maybe my first couple of years of practice, I would want to fax the medical doctor's office 20 pages of research about chiropractic. But now I deal with that a little different way. I would ask the patient, what is that based on? I would, again, try to be Socratic in my education to patient. What do you mean? Why is the doctor recommending that? and they'll say, well, just because they think that they might cause XYZ problems. And then I'll address XYZ problems specifically rather than attack that individual medical doctor. I might even ask a question to the patient, what would you say if your dentist told you to stop going to your cardiologist? And I know it sounds like an elementary question, but it's the same way that a medical doctor who has no training in chiropractic care, let alone subluxation removals or spinal adjustments, what have you, how they can make a recommendation. It's just idiotic to me.
Okay. From the other side of the coin now, from what I've read, less than 10% of the general community has ever visited a chiropractor. And I'm concerned that if we did a survey by phone of the remaining 90%, there would be a lot of preconceived, unfounded notions out there, concerns, oh, if you go to a chiropractor, you have to go forever, or I know someone, or I heard of someone who heard of someone who got hurt once, et cetera, et cetera. How do you deal with that when these people, yes, they're coming in to see you, but again, maybe they have not been discouraged by their medical doctor, but they've heard from someone who heard from someone who heard from someone about negative comments about the chiropractic community?
Unfortunately, this is going to happen even at spinal screenings or workshops or whatever it may be. But in practice, I have noticed that this is happening less and less. So again, what I would do is ask what particular type of injury did your friend or relative sustain after a chiropractic adjustment, and I would go in to address that particular subject rather than attack the entire community for bad mouthing the profession. I might even again use the Socratic method and ask them a question: have you ever been to a dentist? And I'm sure they would say yes. And I say, well, when are you done with your dental care? Because once you go to a dentist, you have to go for the rest of your life now, don't you? Provided you want to have healthy teeth and gums. Well, your nerve system and your spine is a lot more important than just healthy teeth and gums. So just like you need to visit a dentist regularly, anybody with a spine that's warmer than room temperature should be evaluated on a regular basis to see if they have nerve system interference.
Great. Okay. One final question, Doc, but before I ask you the question, you know, I'm sitting here listening to this and I'm saying it's definitely not by accident that you're successful.
Thank you.
It's definitely not by accident, and I've made the same, shall we call it, lousy joke over the last 8 years when we've had chiropractors call up and say, well, they're not quality people, they really don't have a problem. The joke that I've made, half kiddingly, was I would always say, well, we send the same unqualified people to chiropractors all over the country, but isn't it interesting that well over half of them seem to be able to take what we send them and find some very good patients? And I've always known that. But now, having listened to you for the last 20, 25 minutes, I think I understand that it's not magic, it's not luck, it's not chance. It's you've put together a very, very sophisticated, well-thought-out program that's truly a partnership, that truly simply says, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, that simply says, as many of our doctors have said to us, you get these people to come visit us in the office, then you've done your job, and then we take over from there. So I
Absolutely.
Just want to thank you for that. Doc, sure. Any final words or tips that you'd like to share with the 150, 200 doctors who are listening in today and the thousands upon thousands of doctors that I am personally going to be mailing this tape to? If I have to pay for the postage myself, I'm going to make sure this gets out. Is there anything that you just want to finally share with us that maybe you haven't covered or you want to go over again?
Yes, we and again, as you see, I'm very much into asking questions to patients. And one of the things we do after we sit down with the report of findings and we show our patients their lateral X-ray or some objective test, we use our computerized printout that prints out in full color, and we let them take them with them. One of the things we do before they exit is we let them know, on that next visit, we'll be letting you know whether chiropractic care can help. And if I can, I'll let you know. And if I can't, I'll let you know that as well. Does that sound fair? I put my palm out, palm up, look them in the eye, shake their hand, and that really starts a great relationship with them for the report of findings. But something that we do on the report of findings is I ask an open-ended question to them, and it is, what do you think came first, the problem or the pain? And a lot of patients usually say pain, but then I say, well, what comes first, the heart disease or the heart attack? So obviously I get patients to focus that problems come first and pain comes second. Then I'll ask them again, what do you think was your first warning signal that you had the problem? And they said, well, the pain. Okay, well, if you have to wait for the pain to come to let you know you had a problem, now that we have our computerized scan, we found problem areas that you didn't have pain in. I follow up with the referral concept. Are there any people in your particular family that you think should have a scan, or do you think they should wait to have pain to find out that they have a problem? And obviously they say no, and I'll follow up, who are you thinking about right now? Well, my wife or my son, do you think it would be better for you to bring them with you for a complimentary scan on your next visit, or would you like them to come to one of our workshops and find out a little bit more about chiropractic? So by asking questions, I'm leading them as a referral concept to understand that we're looking for problems, not necessarily for pain, and that usually leads into our family-based chiropractic care, where we turn one telemarketing patient into three or four.
Very interesting. Doc, again, I can't thank you enough for spending time with us today, hopefully with this valuable, helpful, practical, specific information that you've shared. Hundreds, if not thousands, of chiropractors across the country will be able to use telemarketing to help build their practices. You said something earlier on, which I want to jump upon, about an 8-to-1 return that you got, which I think is fantastic. Metro Marketing, if I can do a little 30-second commercial here for those listening who are not familiar with Metro Marketing, I'm sure you are. It's interesting because Metro Marketing brings the best of both worlds. It brings you a program, or offers you a program, I should say, that is 100% fully guaranteed. It's that plain, it's that simple. I've never understood why we were not able to sign every single chiropractor to our program on every single day. What I mean by that is very simply, if we don't deliver, if we don't bring you the prospective patients that Dr. Hudak was talking about for the last half hours, you simply do not pay us. That offer does not exist with the yellow pages, any brochures, direct mail, TV, radio, billboards, cable, you name it. No one else, and if you know of someone, call me. No other media on the face of the earth will guarantee you prospective patients in your office or you do not pay. Now, when you couple that guarantee that you don't pay unless these people show up with what Dr. Hudak referred to, an 8-to-1 return, I think an 8-to-1 return is a pretty good return even if you are risking some money. But if you can learn these simple procedures and get an 8-to-1 return with a guaranteed program, I guess it's like going to Atlantic City and knowing the cards that are going to come up in blackjack before they're turned. It's a no-lose, as I say, proposition. So as excited as I am about the guaranteed part, now when I'm hearing that somebody who can successfully use this program and bring in $8 for each dollar they're investing in a fully guaranteed program, it becomes, not to be disrespectful, it becomes even more of a no-brainer program to me. And I hope you all remember that, and I hope you are willing to take that next step and, as I say, get involved. If you're interested, the commercial is, if you'd like information, we have special programs for first-time doctors only. We're interested in getting the doctor. It's always the reluctance of that first program. Most of our doctors who start with us stay with us. In Dr. Hudak's case, it's 5.5 years. We've got doctors. I think Dr. Hudak is number 1,000 of our 5,000 doctors. Well, we have doctors who go back to number one, obviously. They've been around for 7-8 years and are still with us. It's that first program that's the hardest to get you started on, so we've got some interesting things that we offer to first-time doctors. It's simple. It's an 800 phone number. It's 1-800-696-7788. 1-800-696-7788. Ask for extension 248 so we know that you listened to the tape and we can give you some special offer for that particular call, and we can help you get you started. Dr. Hudak, again, I can't thank you enough for spending the time with us. To everyone listening, continued success. And if you want to start seeing new prospective patients tomorrow, and I think you do, then you need to be calling us today. Again, Doctor, thank you once again. And to everyone listening, thank you very much. We will not be taking questions this time like we do normally, and we'll let you know about our next regularly scheduled seminar sometime in a month from now. So again, everyone, have a great day, and thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Doctor.